Hi, aloha, and welcome to the Empowered Empath Podcast. My name is Jennifer O'Neill.
And my name is Michelle Schneider, and I'm just giving my friendly reminder to everyone, if there is any questions that come up in today's topic, to please leave those in the comments. We love hearing from you guys. And if this video has information that really resonates with you, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't already.
I think also, because this podcast today is going to be on being an empath versus empathy or being empathic. They're two very different things. And that's why we wanted to do this podcast today. I would like to see you comment if you are an empath. I think that would be interesting to see. Absolutely. Who out there is listening thinks that they are an empath, because that still confuses a lot of people on where they land on the scale of things, which this subject fits perfectly with my Empowered Empath book that will be coming out soon. So if you're listening to it now, I'll be doing updates and things like that on when it's coming out, because it should be very soon, I would say in the next 4 weeks. If you're listening to it later, then it should be out by now. If you're listening to it later,
well, just check the description, depending on when this podcast comes out. It'd be like, it may be out. Well,
you know, that would be a lot easier to say, wouldn't it? But then I have to go back and remember to shift the descriptions. Maybe I'll just put my book links below. How's that? If I put my book links below, either way, you can just click it and then go to my page, and there, then you can follow me, and then it should notify you when the book comes out. That's a good idea. Thank you, Michelle. You're very handy. Have you ever wondered about what an empath is versus being empathic? This subject has come up a lot for a lot of people. I feel that empath has become a very trendy word over the years. There's a lot of people that identify with it that are not. And there's a lot of people that do not identify with it that are. And I think that that all revolves around what people know about being an empath. And as I talk about in my book, I think that people are very confused on what being an empath actually is. That word is thrown around to, how would I say? I don't want to say like recklessly, but I mean, it's just flung around a lot. And then a lot of people don't really understand the true meaning of being an empath. And then when it comes to empathy, they kind of relate it to the same thing, but they're very different things. Have you heard this before?
Yeah. Oh, I feel like more so now than ever, I really think there is a confusion of what is an empath versus empathy, because I feel like because it's kind of a trendier word, it does get thrown around, and you can kind of see where it's being maybe misinterpreted in a couple of areas. But like, even for me, I don't know that I would have used the word I'm an empath until I think it was your books that I actually read. And that would have been like somewhere in like the 2017 era was like when I found you. And so, but before then, I wouldn't have known what being an empath was, although I would have said I was definitely an empath without having a name for it.
Well, previously, when I was younger, when I was like, well, way younger, I feel like that was ancient years ago, or even in my 20s, being a quote unquote empath was just not talked about. That was not a term that was used. It was not a anything that was actually talked about when it came to the psychic senses or your spiritual senses. Claircognizance was a thing. Clairsentience was a thing. You know, we were along the clairs, clairvoyance, clairaudience. Actually, when I was younger, clairvoyance and clairaudience were just really the only ones that people talked about mostly. Clairsentience is actually the, how would you say, the clair term for being an empath. And I think that also people don't realize that it is one of the spiritual senses amongst the clairs. But somehow along the way, they've sort of done away with clairsentience, even though, I mean, it still clearly exists, but they've replaced it with the term empath. And I think that that adds to the confusion, because it's almost tried to make it a category on its own. in a way that's disconnected from the spiritual senses. And so, again, that adds to the confusion. And so then we have empathy, which seems like a very closely linked word to an empath. So I think it's natural that people would assume, well, if I'm an empath, I would have empathy. And the funny thing is, a lot of empaths do not necessarily have empathy, which we're going to get into. So an empath, let's just talk about that first. And then we'll talk about what the definition of empathy is, which I don't have the actual description dictionary definition. Maybe you could pull that up while I'm talking about.
Yeah, I actually was looking it up earlier too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good. So you can talk about that. An empath is actually somebody who uses clairsentience, one of your psychic, or I don't want to say psychic, one of your spiritual senses, in order to feel energy and read energy. And what that means is you can feel it. When you read it, you are receiving information through energetic waves, energetic frequencies, just any type of energy. The mistake that a lot of people make there is they feel that being an empath is, I can feel what you're feeling. I'm reflecting your feelings. I can feel your happiness. I can feel your sadness. I can tell that you're feeling off, whatever. And so the part about all energy, that you have the ability to read all energy, to feel all energy, and that includes universal energy, astral energy, animal energy, earth energy, energy coming from items or physical things, because everything in existence, every visual thing that you can see is made from something that's not visual, which is energy. And so you essentially have the ability to tune into all energy and read it, get information from it that then shows you more about their energetic frequency that then can help you determine some things. That's very different than, like I said, just being able to read people energy. And before I let you talk about the definition of being an empathic, why do people talk about it as in terms of people energy? Why that one? Because people energy, which is called live energy, again, this is all in my book. I hope to have this out soon so that it aligns with this podcast. It's called live energy. And that is the strongest and easiest thing for people to read. So it's the first thing that you'll notice if you're starting to have a spiritual awakening and your spiritual senses start to tingle. If you are an empath, that is a very easy frequency to read because it's called live energy. One of the hardest things to read is physical energy, which would be like an item or things of that nature, which is connected to another clair called clairtangence or clairtangency, however you want to say. So, you know, there's a lot of layers to this gift on a spiritual level and even on a psychic level and how it can be utilized. I don't think that's important for the majority of the people to really get into how do you read this energy and how do you read that energy from a psychic sense. However, I do think it's incredibly important as a lifestyle to understand what being an empath means, because there's a lot of ways that this will affect your life, whether you claim the title empath or do not claim the title empath. And I think that that's where the juice of this podcast is going to land, because it's going to affect you either way, whether you claim the title or don't. If you have an empath ability, if you are born an empath, it doesn't matter where you land, you will notice it in your day-to-day life. That being said, why don't you tell us the description to being empathic?
So for somebody who has empathy for another person, that's really more coming from an understanding of what somebody else is going through, but just from a mental kind of perspective and alignment. So it's like, oh, I know that you're sad. And I kind of feel for you that you're sad. Whereas an empath would be, oh, I feel your sadness, you know,
right.
So it's a very different in that way, where it's that mental kind of understanding of what somebody else is going through or what their perspective is versus being able to actually feel what that person is feeling.
Right. And I think that those are two very different things, but very confusing things for people. And I like how you talked about the mental aspect, because there's a lot of things that your brain will help you to filter and determine. You can hear the tone of their voice. You can watch the look on their face, their mannerisms. You can analyze somebody without even really, maybe even realize you're doing it, with your eyes and your ears and a lot of your physical senses. And you can go, oh yeah, that makes me feel sad for them, or I'm really feeling upset that they are in this position, or I'd like to help them. That is not being an empath. That is being empathic. I think that to what you were saying, an empath a lot of times would do the opposite. Sometimes they do that, but that a lot of their initial response is, oh, I don't like that feeling. That feeling, I don't like that in my body. I don't like the way that that feels. So empaths more step away from any frequency that feels uncomfortable to them. And the difference is, I just want to kind of give somebody like a visual. When you are an empath, you can actually feel their emotion in your body. You can feel it in your own frequency. It feels as if you are experiencing their emotional body, and you are experiencing some of the emotions that they are going through. That is an empath. That's very different than observing somebody. Now, sometimes those who are empaths do not register that whole thing. They just go, oh, this doesn't feel good to me. This situation doesn't feel good. Something feels off. I'm not feeling comfortable. Or the opposite can happen, where you're like, wow, I'm really enjoying this. The reason I go to the this doesn't feel good or feel well is because what is the one thing that is gets on your radar the quickest? Anything that's uncomfortable. Yeah. If it's joyful, nothing really registers. You're like, yeah, let's just continue to do this, right? You don't need to think about it. But what draws your attention is the, oh my gosh, something's happening, or this energy feels weird, or you can even walk into a place and go, wow, this feels tense, or this feels relaxing. You know, that's what draws people into a lot of establishments, experiences, things of that nature, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm thinking of all of these examples in my head, and I was like, for one, and it took me a long time to like kind of figure out why, I kind of have like a 2-store limit. Like if I'm going to go out and I need to go purchase things, I'm not going on a shopping spree all day, because I will get physically sick at the end. I cannot be around all kinds of people at all kinds of different stores. By store number 2, I'm like, I got to get home. I can't do this anymore. So it's like, I have that limit on myself of exposure.
Well, and that brings us to the next thing, that a lot of empaths are reclusive. You know, they don't want to help those other people. That feels very heavy to them. You know, that's where I think that a lot of empaths are like, I'm not even empathic. I don't feel for that person. I don't want to be near that person. And that feels very counterintuitive to the wording, but it's actually a protective mechanism that empaths go into, because they can feel their energy. And if you're around somebody with long periods of time with that frequency, it starts to feel like your own frequency. It starts to feel like something that you're resonating, that's in your body. And you can do that. You can pick up on a frequency from somebody. It can alter your own frequency if you're not careful, which is why, again, I have so much info in these books, and info that would help you go more than 2 stores, by the way.
Yeah, I definitely have questions now about like, okay, what can I do? Because that's no way to live a life. Like if I need to go buy things, like what can I do to like not feel sick?
Well, unfortunately, that literally is a whole book, which is the part 2. So I have 2 of them coming out. One's going to be basically about energetic strength training, and that's what you're talking about. It is about how to build up your energy and create a buffer as an empath so that you can be around people without walking away with their frequency. you can be in more than two stores. You can go past your two store limit, but you don't realize, or people don't realize, that you don't just get from point A to point B immediately and go, oh, I'm an empath and I know I don't want to have their frequency, so I'm very aware of that, so I'm not going to, you know, be near them enough to reflect their frequency, and then you're going to leave feeling great. No, there's a whole system. There's a whole system of things and techniques that you have to use, and it truly is a lifestyle. It's not just something that you're going to do today or for the next couple of weeks, and then you're going to be able to go into 3 to 5 stores. You actually have to integrate the system on a daily basis. Things like how you brush your teeth, take a shower, make sure you eat properly, get enough sleep. There are some things like that that you just have to integrate into your daily routine as an empath. When you do these things that I'm talking about, like I said, it's a whole book, and don't worry, like, oh my God, I have to do a book of things every day. No, but you just start integrating it into your daily routines. It's not overwhelming. You just need to understand what it is that you're doing and why. And how you would want to view that is, if you do have a two-store limit, like Michelle, you want to view that as, if you try to go into a gym and you haven't worked out for a long time and you go, I'm going to start doing some 50-pound curls. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lift these 50-pound weights, or let's go bench press 100 pounds. Yeah, your body, the muscles that you have may not work to go in there and lift those 50 pounds or the 100 pounds, right? Yeah. So you, what would you have to do? You would have to build your muscle up to that point. You would have to work with maybe lower weights and then add some more and add some more until your physical body starts to strengthen in a way that you can then lift the weights. That's how I explain your energetic maintenance system and strengthening what I call your energetic muscle. You have to do some things that protect your energetic system and clear your energetic system and put a buffer between you and other people. And the more that you strengthen your energetic system, just like a muscle, it can become stronger, and will, as long as you follow an empathic lifestyle, it will become stronger than the other people who you're around. So then that strength of your energy trumps the weakness of their energy, if that makes sense. It becomes too strong for their frequency to enter into your system. There's that energetic muscle. It's buffed up. And they can't push their way through into your system and your frequency. And so that's what most people need to do who are an empath. If you're not already doing it, it is hugely important, because it does affect you on a daily basis, which is, I think, what you were getting to. What are the things that you notice? And I'll talk a little bit about that too. How do you feel like being an empath affects you physically? Because I think this is one thing that people don't realize. They just think it's like, oh yeah, I feel your emotions and I feel this, and you're emotionally draining. People aside, it will affect your physical body. And you want to tell me?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I feel like my health has been primarily like the biggest impacts of that, because of either the people I've been around or the relationships I've been in. And it's funny, it's because it's so important just to have awareness, first and foremost, yes, of like what's happening. Because before, like I had mentioned in previous podcasts, I'm connecting a lot of dots lately, and I feel like
maybe the podcast should be Michelle's spiritual journey while she's connecting the dots.
Yes. Because it's like, oh, I get it now. It's like before, you're just kind of like living in the dark and you're just like, ah, you know, it's so weird. I can't handle going, you know, mm-hmm, you know, to any other place. I mean, one Walmart and I'm done, you know, I can't go.
Okay, yeah. Walmart's a whole, you got to have some big muscle going in there though. Some energetic muscle, but keep going.
But yes, my health definitely takes the biggest impact, I think. And you know, just I know now more than ever, it's like when I start to feel sick, I really got to ask my question. And like, it's probably not because I ate bad cheese. It's most likely because, you know, exactly. something around me is a little off, or I need to kind of pay attention to what's happening, because I just think I know now that I'm very sensitive, and I'm just definitely taking the time just to be more aware of what is happening in my life. There's definitely pros and cons to being, mm-hmm. you know, an empath. For one, it's like having the greatest GPS, you know, system. I feel like my body yes. is kind of like a lie detector, human lie detector. So it's
yes, it is.
It's great to have that information, but it also kind of sucks because of the negative impacts that you feel when it does make you feel sick when you're
well, yeah, because I cannot tell you the amount of times people have been like, oh my gosh, you know, I would love to be like you. Like you're a psychic and you're this. And I'm like, you're thinking of all the really cool things you could do with it. Like it's a party trick, you know, like, wow, it'd be cool to do this and see that and whatever. But you have to learn how to work with your spiritual and physical bodies together in a way that is empowering and not draining. And this takes a lot of training and practice. So I can't do a lot of things that regular people can do and not have any implications of being around strong energies or different types of energies, the same way that you're talking about now. My sensitivity levels off the chart. I just know what's happening to me. But if you took a regular person and I exchanged, like, what do you call those movies where you just swap lives?
Freaky Friday?
I think that people would just lose their mind. They'd be like, what is happening? Because they would be in my sensitive body. They'd be seeing all these things. They'd be picking up all this info everywhere they went. I forget about it too, because we're kind of going off subject a little bit, but it's kind of funny because my friends know that I do this and they've asked me things before. Like if we're out doing something, they'll ask me questions like, well, can you just like read everybody, you know, like, can you see or read things about those people? And I'm like, it's so funny because I've been this way my whole life. So I don't know what it's like to be in their shoes. You know, I don't know what limitations that they have. I just truly don't. Same way that they have no idea of me because I've just been this way. So I'll be like, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm like, well, of course, because if I couldn't do that, then how would I do what I'm doing? And they'll be like, are you serious? And then, well, what about that person over there? And what about that person? Well, I typically don't just, you know, go around doing that. And I explain to them, well, I'm not usually sitting at lunch looking at everybody's life individually necessarily. But yes, anytime I scan a room, I know that about this person, and I know this about this person. I know who's having a bad day. I know who's having a relationship issue. I know. And they just find that mind-boggling. To me, it's just normal. It's just like you walk in and there's like little Sims things above everybody where it has info on every single person. But that's not necessarily what I'm interested in. I'm interested in conversing with whoever I'm eating with. I'm interested in what's on the menu. I'm excited to be outside and just, you know, because I do that in my professional career. So it's not something I really want to do when I'm out enjoying myself. Yeah. There has to be a balance of using your abilities and being just, for me, Jen, you know, I like to just be a human sometimes and just be myself. And
I know, but it's funny though. And I've had this conversation. I remember when I was in Hawaii with somebody and they were like, well, is this coming from psychic Jen or is this coming from Jen? Like when you give advice, they're like, do you know something that I don't know?
And that, I forgot about that. That is also asked me often from my friends, and it makes, Jake gets so mad because Simone, my daughter-in-law, will do that sometimes. And Jake will be like, Simone, you know her. Like, it's all the same. There's no differentiation here. It's all, when you're hearing her talk about stuff, it's all psychic Jen, because there is no differentiation. I cannot give advice on something without my psychic senses playing a very heavy role in that, because that's how I process all information. all of my information is processed through my psychic senses. And I trust that a million times more than I trust anything that people say or do or whatever. And actually, I don't know, did we just get into that on another podcast, or were we talking about where, when I've been training some students lately, because I have a ton of mentorship students, and when I'm training them, there's been a few times that I've had to explain to them what people say, the words that are coming out of their mouth, and even some of their actions. You might as well just throw that out the window, because if you're really working with your psychic senses, you need to know their true energetic intentions. And that's the intention behind an action. The intention behind an action will change the action completely. You can do the same exact action, but if you have a heartfelt intention behind it, or you have a manipulative intention behind it, that's absolutely going to change the tone of the action. And so using your psychic senses in that way is very, very important. So where I'm getting to again with this is, I absolutely rely zero upon like some of the physical senses of people interactions, what they're saying, how they're presenting themselves, what actions they're taking. I can't tell you how many times, it's been thousands upon thousands of times, I've been at a social event and they will say, have you met so-and-so or whatever? And I have a summary in a millisecond of this person. And they will say, well, you know, they're like this, or whether it might be positive, it might be not positive. It might be like, oh, I don't like them very much. It might be, oh, I love them. And I'll be like, oh, yeah. And they'll be like, wait, why? And I don't offer the information, but anytime I meet somebody, everybody wants to know. And they'll be like, well, what do you think? And I'll be like, well, I think X, Y, Z. And they'll be like, really? And then I'll be like, well, yeah, how are you not picking up on this? And they'll be like, wow. And then now that you mention it, now that you're saying that, and then they go, this happened and that happened, and I do notice this and I do notice that. But they're trusting their physical senses more than they're trusting their intuitive senses. But if I mention something, they will tune into that a little bit more, and then they'll trust that.
Yeah.
So it is kind of interesting, which we've gotten kind of way far off track. Well, not really, because you can sense a lot of that stuff with being an empath. And intention is one thing that you can absolutely read as an empath. It's hugely important.
Well, I think we talked a little bit about it when we were talking about how it can impact your health, and kind of like the things that I was going through of like being in a relationship where the words that they were saying was not matching up with their intentions. And the reason I was so sick was because I was picking up on those.
Yes. I thought it was another podcast.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Okay. So physical symptoms, that is something we should probably touch upon before we get to the end. It can absolutely affect your physical health when you do not understand that you're an empath. Maybe you haven't quite got there yet. You haven't quite got that, oh, I am an empath. Oh, while it's on my mind, if you're wondering about it, I do have an empath quiz on Keys to the Spirit World. So you can go over to keysofspiritworld.com and take that if you are one of those people, or hopefully my book will be out then, and then you can go read that. You know, I keep saying that. If I feel like if I keep saying it, it'll just come to fruition faster. Somehow I will get it done faster and out there quicker. But I feel like whether you know you are or you're not, I don't think that everybody's aware of how much it affects your physical body. Feeling drained, mental exhaustion. It can make you feel nauseous. It can make you have severe anxiety. Yeah. Severe anxiety is a huge one. It can lead to overeating, which I don't think that people realize. And that's both ends of the spectrum. You can be so nauseous and throw up or feel like you're going to, because the energy around you feels that toxic. There have been people in my life that have made that happen to me early on when I started navigating my empathic abilities. And in my 20s, when I was doing that, there was no books, there was no information out there on it. So I really had to navigate it on my own and then teach others from that. There would be times that, it made me very physically ill. Like I was going to throw up every time I was around them. I had to learn how to navigate those relationships. And one of them, I just had to eliminate completely out of my life. And then you start feeling better. You can have that happen, or you can have the overeating. And one of the things that I'll give some tips on, people don't realize how much the empaths have to ground and work through some clearing things and grounding techniques on a daily, because you do have the ability to read energy. And until you build up your energetic muscle and you get it strong enough to where your energy is the more dominant one in the room, you can and will shift your frequency often through the day on accident to the people or the environment that you're in. And that will really screw with an empath's health. And so, you will want to get to that point that you're not allowing your frequency to be adjusted by other people. And that can leave you feeling so drained, so crappy at the end of the day. And you're like, what is happening? Like, why do I feel like this? I don't understand. Like, you might attribute it to just being emotionally spent, very drained. But the other thing that people don't realize is it can actually make your body ache. Have you ever had that happen?
I don't know about the body ache so yeah, much. I'm just more crazy. So nausea. I mean, health, I mean, with the health, I'm not saying that it was all related to, the relationship and being empathic. There was a lot of going on, but like I lost 35 pounds because I was right. So nauseous. I couldn't eat.
Right. So it can actually, if you are in large crowds, if you are putting yourself through a lot of energetic transition, being around this type of energy and that energy and that energy for long periods of time, you can actually become achy. Your body can actually ache, like you're having a flu or something. It's very strange. But I can get that. I used to get that a lot, actually. So I'm very prone to that just because my sensitivities are so high. The overeating, before I forget about that, one of the things that people don't realize is when you eat, eating is actually grounding. People know like things about like meditation's grounding, go out in the, yard and put your feet in the sand, the dirt, the grass, that's grounding, anything with earth energy. Well, you're consuming earth energy when you eat. And that's a good tip for people to know. And when your digestive system starts to go, it activates your lower chakras in the body, which is also grounding. So you kind of have a twofold thing going on. And so a lot of times if people are exposing themselves to energies that don't feel well to them, and then they start having anxiety from energetic overwhelm and or not being able to ground that energy out of their body and replace it with earth energy, because grounding and clearing are different. And clearing is basically clearing spiritual energy. Grounding is completing a circuit. It is taking some of the energy that you've picked up, or maybe that your energy has adjusted to that doesn't really suit your energetic system, your frequency. It's allowing that energy to move into the ground, but it completes a circuit by pulling and replacing that energy that you're releasing with earth energy in the body. And that's one thing that I think also people don't realize is the difference between clearing and grounding, and how the grounding creates this energetic circuit within the physical body. So it helps to bring the physical body and the spiritual body together by balancing spiritual energy. And spiritual energy would be energy that you're picking up from people as well. And then earth energy. So now you have a better balance. You're weighted better. It's not like you're being floaty or anything. So eating can ground the body. And therefore, once you start feeling grounded, the anxiety starts to subside, you start feeling better balanced. And so your brain goes to, I need to eat, every time that you're in a situation where you can feel the energy around you that feels unsettled or doesn't feel like it matches you, you start can feel that anxiousness and your brain goes, yep, when I eat, I always feel better. So then you go to food. But if you don't realize this, you can tend to find that you're eating often. Oh, I went to 2 stores, my limit. I have to go to the 3rd store. I need to go eat something. So, I mean, truthfully.
Yeah.
And so what do people do when they're out in those places? They typically don't eat good foods. So the rule of thumb, if you're going to be using grounding or eating for grounding, is to actually eat as little bit of processed foods as you can. Don't just always go to like a fast food place or whatever, but try to think earth foods. Now, earth foods can be typical earth foods like vegetables, fruits, all that kind of thing. But I know that this is going to come up, and I talk about this in my book and in my the energy management one. Meat is actually technically an earth food as well, because it's coming from an animal, coming from earth. And so some people like that and some people don't like that. I'm not saying to eat meat by any means. I hardly eat any. I'm very picky about that. The only time I eat it is if I can feel that my body needs it. But other than that, I absolutely do not like the taste. I don't like anything about it. But I do use it for balance. So that's something to know. So just earth energy foods is going to help you ground, and it's not going to be kind of a waste of consuming food. The digestive process, the grounding technique, where you start to, you know, gain 35 pounds. And that is very, very common as an empath. It's a common thing to do and to have. Your brain doesn't have the knowledge on what's happening. And so these are some of the things that you need to know when it comes to being an empath. You start to fall into these habits of protecting your own energy, and protecting your own energy can contribute you to not wanting to be around people. It can cause you to feel like you're actually the opposite of being empathic. You know, I want nothing to do with that situation. I want nothing to do with that person or whatever. It can cause you to be in a protective mode, protecting your energy. And you can find yourself doing what some people would call a selfish type of behavior. I do not call it selfish at all. I call it smart and being protective, because you're protecting your own energy, and you're protecting your health, because we don't want our physical health to have a terrible, like a side effect to you not being able to manage your empath ability very well. And that will be a side effect. It will start playing into your physical body. This is why it's so important to understand. Like I said, who cares about the label? I don't care if you call yourself one, don't call yourself one. Call yourself one in secret, don't call yourself one in public. I don't really care how you do it. Doesn't matter to me. The point is understanding what it is, how it works, how it's affecting your lifestyle, where you're going, where you can go, where you can't go, how often you can go, what are your store limit. I like that. Maybe I think people are going to get
you're really stuck on that store
limit. Like that, because I feel like a lot of people will, I think that's going to make sense to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I like to do tips and tricks that make things easy so they don't have to overthink things. So it's going to affect a lot about the way you live. And it's going to affect a lot about how happy you are in the way that you live, because you have to think about how much do you feel like people around other people that are not happy?
A lot.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, just think about that for a minute. The amount of people, I give people a percentage of about 70% of the people that you're going to run into are just not happy people. It's just the way it is. There's no way. It's probably actually a lot higher than that, but let's be fair and say it's only 70%. Now, if you're an empath and you go out and you're reading energy and you are consistently picking up on low frequency emotions, vibrational frequencies, etc., and you are constantly feeling the frequency of people feeling unhappy or feeling angry or life's not working, so they're feeling frustrated and you're bombarded with this feeling all the time, or pessimistic behaviors and attitudes, what do you think you're going to feel like? Especially if you cannot separate and you haven't mentally compartmentalized, that doesn't belong to me.
Yeah, that's why awareness is so big. And it's so huge because big. It's like, one, it's so frustrating because it feels like we don't know anything about our bodies and how long have we been on this earth and why has nobody, you know, talked about this stuff before? It's frustrating in a sense where it feels like we know nothing. And then when you are somebody who doesn't have that awareness of being an empath and you're like, something is wrong with me, I'm sick, and you go to the doctors and they say, nothing's wrong with you. Like, it is completely a frustrating experience. And I've been there and I've gone through it. And it's like, now I have all this new awareness of like, what's really going on?
Well, I think that's another good indicator we can throw in with the other one is oftentimes empaths will end up at the doctor going, yeah, I feel horrible. I feel sick. I feel achy. I feel nauseous. I feel whatever. They don't feel good. And they just know they don't feel good. So, of course, you're pretty sure you're dying because, I mean, that's just what happens. You know, you're scared. You have some anxiety with it. And they're like, yeah, your labs are fine and you look great and everything's fine. Are you sure? You know, no, I don't feel well. And yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what we can do about that. That's a pretty strong indicator that you're having some physical symptoms of being a spiritual person, being an empath, being able to read and sense energy. So I think that that's another pretty good indicator. I think if we had to do the top four, I think anxiety, overeating, protecting your energy with like not wanting to be around people, kind of being a hermit, and being very particular about how often that you go out, and then, you know, going to the doctor or have gone in and getting a clean bill of health for the most part, and causing your doctor some confusion. I think that those are pretty good indicators of your empath ability. Then you got to take it to the next step and go, okay, how do I learn about what to do, what not to do? I'm telling you before we go, you cannot live your life like everybody else. It will never happen. If you are an empath and you continuously try to live your life like your friends or your family and have them constantly telling you, why can't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? Can't you just be normal? No, you cannot just be normal. You were not built that way. There are actual reasons that you were chosen to become an empath if you have that ability. That's a very cool subject, which is in my book as well. But you cannot live your life like everybody else. And that can be super frustrating, to tell you the honest God truth, because there's going to be times where you want to live your life like everybody else and you want to pretend like you can. And then you go in and have a major panic attack or anxiety attack when you go do something and you just feel frustrated and upset and like, why can't I be normal? Well, because you're not. However, if you start living an empathic life, or I don't like to say empathic, an empath lifestyle, if you start learning how to do that, you absolutely can do all those things and probably even be better than your friends and family, because you're going to be able to feel, read, and sense things that they cannot. And that part of being an empath is very cool, because it can be a safety feature, not just like a physical safety, but it can protect you from experiences with people that are toxic or people you shouldn't be around, or even just energetic flow. Nope, timing doesn't feel right on this. Oh, yep, the energy feels good to be doing this today. So you can become quite empowered within your ability, but you have to learn about it, live an empath lifestyle by using a lot of the techniques that I talk about in the books. And you have to just understand that you're not normal.
But there's hope.
There's absolutely hope, not just hope. You can 100% live the most amazing lifestyle. You just need to have the right information. So that being said, I will post my Amazon link with this show because of what Michelle said. And just follow me on Amazon if you would like to see when the release of that book is out, if it is not out already, when you go check. And I think that that's all. You have
just a reminder, you know, if there is anything I would say that you're struggling with, you know, as an empath, leave those in the comments. You know, I'd love to like hear, I mean, do you guys have a 2-store limit as well? Like what kind of struggles do you have as an empath? Would love to hear those. Yes. If you like this podcast, please give the video a like and subscribe as always.
Yes. And until next time, have the most amazing day. Aloha. Bye. Mm-hmm.